this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. It's good to be among everybody and not just me and the camera. Welcome everyone again. Welcome everyone streaming in from home. It's good to be here, and it's particularly special to experience God's presence whenever we come together. And I realize it doesn't have to be us in this place. It can be in our home. It can be in a small group. It can be at intercession. But it's something special when we come together and pray together and worship together and experience God together. And that's what I trust for us, not only this morning, moving forward in this time, that it doesn't matter where we are, that we don't limit God to a place, to a situation, that we will always come with the expectation. Always come with the expectation. Wherever we go, God is there with us. He's there with us. And I would not have thought that it's going to be a couple of months since the last time we gathered till we are here again. I think my children told me the other day that they think the church have seen almost every part of our house now. We've been, kitchen, outside, living rooms, all over. But it's a privilege, and I just want to thank you all for your prayers. I thank you all for walking this journey with us, for us, Pastor Heinrich, the elders, the leaders. It's a privilege for us to walk together and to trust God together, especially in this time. And we trust that each one of us will come through this, but not only just come through this, that we will continue to become more like Jesus. There's a lot of things that want to steal our joy, steal our faith, take a lot of stuff, but we need to stand together. And it's wonderful what God is doing also in the Elderberg as we connect with other church leaders, as we work together at Taste and See with New Gen and all leaders all over at our intercession that's in Strand in the Dutch Reformed Church. It's just amazing that this time has really been a time of, actually, we've been so apart, but it's also a coming together in faith. And this morning, I just want to pray for us before we continue. Lord, I thank you for this gathering. I thank you for each one that's here and also for those streaming in. Thank you that we can experience you, God. We can know you and that you are here with us, that you are not boxed in. And I thank you, Lord, that for what you've made available to us, Lord, for your word that's alive, for the Holy Spirit that's with us, for Jesus that saved us. All of this, Lord, and also for what we have in our hands to take this message out into the world. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. And once again, I just want to pray that this morning will again be a special time in your presence for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know that certainly things have changed, and whoa, almost something else that's changing. If this was online, I can just restart the video and say, okay, let's take it again. But in any case, I want to encourage you to pursue community. It might sound a bit weird in the times that we're living in, but just to connect, just to connect with someone, just to phone someone, to say, this is what's going on in my heart, how are you doing? And to continue to pray together. I think we're in a time where there's a lot of, the emphasis is on social distancing. But we can still support one another and be there for one another. And just ask questions. I know through Facebook and Instagram and all those things, everybody is broadcasting. We just broadcast, this is what I had for supper, and this is my kid. He looks amazing. And we're just broadcasting a lot of stuff. But what we're missing sometimes is just to ask questions, to find out from one another, how are you doing? And especially in this time, this is an opportunity that we have to really connect with one another and to pray. And I also realized that some of the dreams, we might have had dreams coming into this year, plans, things that we set out, some of that is thrown out the door. It's all different. I particularly love the Cederberg. So I love to go there with my friend Dirk. We go into the mountain when the sun sets, then we sleep there, and then we just continue and we adventure. So I had an opportunity, well, a few opportunities with Lee to explore like that. And then also with Gustav, my boy, and Samuel, I had another trip with him last year, just drive a long road trip. So Lucy was begging me for a adventure. She knows there's a lot of sweets on any adventures. So just I think a month ago or so, we went up Helderberg, and when we got to the top, I made popcorn, because some of you will know I can make popcorn. Cannot do everything, but I can make popcorn. So we were there on top of the Helderberg, and we shot a big pot of popcorn. And then she said, "Daddy, I dream of watching a movie and having popcorn on a mountain." So I thought, okay, why not? So we've got the popcorn, took out my phone, we watched a part of a movie there on the mountain, and her dream came true. And I realized that sometimes our dreams come true and sometimes not. But maybe we feel at this stage that some of our dreams are out the door. Or with everything that's different, that we cannot dream anymore. We're not sure if we can dream. But I know God is a God of dreams. Throughout the Bible, He gives us dreams. He gave people dreams. He gave many people dreams. A dream of warning, a dream of instruction and wisdom. I know some of us, when we talk about dreams, we think those dreams you have when you sleep. I know some doesn't want to dream because then they say they don't sleep well. I love dreams. That's when I score all my tries in touch rugby. And I do a lot of tricks. And it's always amazing. And I sleep well. Sometimes we think that a dream is linked to something that cannot come to pass. But I want to encourage us this morning that we can still dream. That we can still hold on to God. He's still a God that wants to know us. He's still a God that wants to be intimately involved in our lives. And I'm studying theology. One of the things that I was studying or busy with this month is Islam and just the religion of Islam. And I can say that I know this is online, but with all respect to our Muslim brothers, they worship Allah, and we worship God. And sometimes people say that it's the same God. But if you read up a bit more, you will see the nature of Allah and Yahweh, or our God. It's a bit different in nature, where Allah is transcendent. You cannot reach Him. He's above all. God, as we know Him, the God of the Bible, He wants us to know Him. And He wants us to experience Him. And that's why Jesus came, that we can see the way Jesus lived, that we can model that. And that's amazing. It's amazing if you think about it, that God is reaching out to us. God is the one that's coming to us. Doesn't matter where we are, some of us here this morning, some of us maybe lying in bed, sitting in our lounge, wherever God is reaching out to us. And that is, I never realized how special that is. And I realize many things that we take for granted, like worshiping together, like coming together, like reading a Bible, that have a Bible, just proclaiming God. Some of those things are not like that in the rest of the world. Now, I remember Pastor Sia sharing from being in China, being in a hall where they worship together, and they said, let's worship God. And everybody just stood there, lifting their hands, worshiping God without music, words, nothing. Having an amazing experience of worshiping God. So it might mess with our minds a bit. But we cannot put God in a box. He's a good God. And back to the dreams, I want to encourage us to keep on dreaming, to keep on trusting God, keep on holding on to God. Because maybe you had some dreams and things that you stood in faith for, especially for this year, and it changed. But I want to encourage you this morning that God didn't change. And I quickly want to take us to the Bible and just talk about Joseph for a little bit. Because we know Joseph, he was the dreamer of the Bible. But I also want us to just look at how Joseph navigated through everything that was happening in his life. Because things changed drastically. Just quickly from Genesis 37, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. Joseph, a young man of 17 years old, tending the flocks with his brothers. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. So when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. But Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, now maybe he shouldn't have told them at that stage, they hated him all the more. He said to him, listen to this dream. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine, bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more. Then he had another dream and he told this to his brothers. Listen, this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. So I know if my brother, when I was 17, came to me with all of this, I don't think I would have received it very well. I've got some sympathy with the other brothers. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous, but his father kept the matter in mind. So this is a setting. This is Joseph with his dream. We know the story. His brothers hated him. After that, he went into the field to go and visit them. They saw him coming. Remember, they threw him in the pit. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then they put him up an auction. And he came and he worked in Potiphar's house. So in a day, his life changed. In a day, everything was different. Still walking with a lunchbox from his house into the field, everything amazing. It's almost like he went into lockdown. Just a little bit worse. And there he was stuck. But it's amazing to see this verse that's coming out throughout Genesis that the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. And again, Joseph stayed true to God. He was diligent. He kept on pursuing God, kept on worshiping God, kept on spending time with God, or however he's worshiped and his quiet time, however that looked like. He still continued on that journey with God, in his relationship with God. And again, we know that then there's Potiphar's wife. After a while, the word says, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. She caught him by his clothes and he ran. There's many, I've heard other sermons that when the devil comes, just run. So he ran away, and then we know she said to Potiphar, this is my evidence of what happened. I've got this piece of clothes. Amazingly, that he didn't execute Joseph. He just threw him in prison. He had enough right to actually execute him right there. But maybe he knew something wasn't right, or maybe he just gave him the benefit of the doubt. So he put him in prison, and again Joseph's life changed from being in Potiphar's wife, in Potiphar's house, right there, to being in prison. A change. And I'm mentioning all these things that we can also think and think back of our own lives. Think of what's happening in our lives, because sometimes things change and we don't take it very well. It can just be going to school, everyone forgot their masks, so we must turn back, go home, fetch it. That's an extra 5-10 minutes we didn't plan for. My kids are there, they will know that changed the circumstances. Whatever it is, you know, on your way to work, you didn't factor in a little bit of margin for a flat wheel or something like that. It changed. And often we will say that my day has not turned out well. My day has not started well. I must get in bed and get out the other side. Or we just want a retake. We want to start over. But it seems like Joseph just continued. Now he's in prison, and again we say, while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness, granted him favor. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all these held in the prison. An amazing testimony, actually. This guy that's come from the auction, he's in Egypt, came into the prison, and shortly he's in charge of everyone. And then the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph's gift was not only the dreams, but the interpretation of dreams. He had a gift. And I'm aware that each one of us here and those streaming in, we have different gifts that we've received from the Lord. And those gifts we can use to minister, to reach out to people around us. It's a gift that we have. His gift was interpretation of dreams. So when he heard the baker and the cupbearer sharing their dreams, he said that I can ask my God for the interpretation. I can go to my God and we can talk about this. And we can get to the interpretation of what is happening here. And he did it. Remember, he just said to the cupbearer, he said, I've got good news for you. To the baker, not so good. At least he was honest. I don't know how I would have said that. But in any case. So he just asked one thing. He said, will you remember me? When you are restored in your position, remember me. And as we continue with the word, it's not like there's 2 months or 6 months or a year. It's actually 2 years later. 2 years before we get to a point where Pharaoh had a dream. And now Pharaoh needs his interpretation, and the cupbearer remembered Joseph. He said, there's a guy. And I always believe that doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, that we can petition God. We can come to God. We can talk to Him. We can make Him part of every area of our lives. And sometimes it will feel that we are forgotten. It might feel that no one knows. No one knows what's going on in my room, in my house, in my car, at work. God knows everything. And sometimes that's the only thing that we can hold on to, is that God knows. He sees. He's aware of this, and He hasn't forgotten us. And I'm always saying this example of when we have children, we see the baby cry, we do something about it. And sometimes the devil comes and he's actually spreading this lie that if nothing happens, If we are making a lot of noise, but nothing is happening, no one knows, or God doesn't know, or He's not in charge, He's not reacting, He's not doing, that's a lie. He knows everything that is going on, and He's aware of our circumstances. So as we know that Joseph came, and he came to Pharaoh, and he said, I can interpret that dream. Once again, he inquired of God, and he told him about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine that's going to come, and that they can prepare. And once again, in one day, God restored Joseph to second in charge of Egypt within a day. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think that we will still see things like that happening in our lives. The closest I got to that was a business deal when I was selling outdoor gear. Just one big deal, one day. And it was amazing. And I knew this is God. Only God can do things like this. Where we get discouraged, we go through all the scenarios, we work it out. We'll say, this is how it's going to happen, then this, then people are going to say this. Everything figured out. And God is just beyond it all. You don't need a lot of steps. And when the famine came, we know that Joseph and Jacob and his sons and everyone, they came to Egypt. They came there for food. They didn't recognize Joseph. So Joseph was all this time, he must have thought, you are the guys that started all of this. And here you are in front of me. But somehow, his heart was still okay. Somehow, he managed through all of this to stay connected to God, to stay on worshiping God. Somehow, he didn't allow the devil to come in and to rob him of his faith and his dreams and the things that he was trusting God for. Somehow, through all of this, Joseph was still there standing strong. And only us, we know what's going on in our hearts at this stage and all the emotions and the difficulties, the battles we face right now. And I want to actually encourage each one of us that somehow we can stand. But we need to contend for the truth. We need to contend for the truth. We need to read the Bible and know this is the God I serve, not the God of these lies and the things I want to believe and the things that I'm confused about. God is above that. And we must help one another to contend for the truth. Because the devil would like to come in and confuse. And maybe we are going through a season of we are in a different season. There's no two ways about that. But maybe we're trusting God for a promotion or a breakthrough or something what specifically should have happened in 2020. And now it's delayed and it's not happening. I want to say, let's continue to trust God. Let's continue to hold on to God. Let's ask God for His perspective. Because the thing is, what stood out from Joseph's story is that his story was part of God's story. His story, whatever he was going through, was part of God's plan. Part of God's plan to save a nation. Maybe to save the world. And sometimes we lose that perspective. We think of whatever is happening in my life, it's just me and those around me, and we must figure it out. And somehow we must manage. Somehow we must make it. But I want to say that each one of us, even us coming together this morning, I was so aware in the worship that God is putting us together for the Helderberg, for the world, for people around us. That we all know that the church is not limited to a building, now more than ever before. That we are not limited, but still God has decided He put us together, that together we can bring Him glory. Together we are part of making His name great. My story, your story, our story is part of God's story. I think That was one of the things that Joseph realized, and he must have understood this, that God is using him. And often, we know the Old Testament points toward Jesus and the New Testament, and that's exactly the life of Jesus. If we look at the story of Joseph and his life story, it's actually pointing towards Jesus, the one that was there, that's in place, and when he was resurrected, through him, everyone can be saved. In Joseph's day, through him, there was enough, there was provision for the world to survive. My story is part of God's story. And when the brothers came there, another point I want to make is when the brothers came there to Joseph, they were afraid. The word said that they were thinking, as long as dad lived, as long as Jacob was alive, Joseph would treat us in a good way. Things would have been okay because Jacob is there. Our father is there and he's alive. But he died and they panicked. They said, Genesis 50, they said to one another that, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pay us back for all the wrongs we did to him? What if he's going to pay us back? And just to be on the safe side, they sent word to him. They said, your father gave this command before he died. That can be manipulation. Maybe he say, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. They were afraid. They were going through all these emotions. What is he? He's not going to forgive us. What if we're going to stand? This is our saving grace. We need to get food from Joseph. If Joseph doesn't give us food, we're going to die. And Joseph would have said, hey guys, you remember that dream I told you in the mountain? You're all bowing down before me. This is it. This is what you're doing right now. Is it coming back to mind? You see it all? Hey, it's all coming true. He didn't go there. I think he got some of that perspective of God to understand his role in God's story. And he understood. And I think he was just thankful and aware of what God is doing. He had a biblical perspective on things. And I believe that's something that we must ask God for his perspective, no matter the situation, doesn't matter how this is looking this morning, God is busy. And we are part of God's story. He's still busy. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still the same God. Wherever we go. Last Sunday, I was preaching in Nomzamo. And I told them that often we bring testimonies of breakthroughs. Often we bring testimonies, say, this is what God has given me. I was trusting for this, and it happened. And it's amazing. But may we never stop there. May we never come to a place where we only tell testimonies of what we have received, of material things. May that never be the place, the only place where we give a testimony of God. Because that will be a sad day. Because a testimony is, I'm still okay by God's grace. That's a testimony. A testimony is, I'm still holding on to my dream or that word that God gave me. And I'm still trusting that it will come to pass. But even if it doesn't come to pass, I know God didn't change. I know my God is still in charge. That's a testimony as well. And I want to encourage you to even share some of those things that we stand in faithful. Even share some of those things that we say, this is what I receive from the Lord. This is what God is saying to me. And also, I was in this place. I was afraid, but now I feel better. I was scared, and God removed the fear. I didn't know where the finances and the things are going to come from, now it's different. Or actually, it's still the same. I still don't know. But I have a peace of God that surpasses understanding. That for me, I think that's one of the biggest miracles we can experience in this life. It's actually the peace that comes from God. To still be in our current circumstances and know that He's in control. He's alive and He's busy and involved in our lives, making us a part of His story. And it's exciting. Joseph spent 13 years from the day that he was thrown in the pit to the day that he was second in command in Egypt. 13 years, that's a long time. That's longer than most of us will spend at school. That's a lifetime. If you're in those 13 years, in the middle of it, in prison or in the pit, there's so many moments that he must have thought that it's game over. And maybe we have moments like that as well, where we can look at our lives and say, now I thought, wow, this is the end. Wow, I'm back. This is the end. I'm back. This is the end. I'm back. But God is there. He's stable. He's in control. And he stayed with him. And in Joseph's heart, just lastly, I think there's things that must have happened in his heart through all this journey. He must have made a decision that I'm going to continue worshiping God. I'm going to continue to give him my best. Not only in the closet where he's all by himself, but even in the prison, in Potiphar's house, and in charge of Egypt. Every time he was prepared to continue to give God his best. And then the recognition came and all the other things. But he was walking with God and he didn't allow his circumstances in a way to dictate his faith and all the other things. And his restoration didn't mean payback for his brothers. He understood something of God's perspective. And I pray for us this morning that it will be true in our lives. Even in this, where we find ourselves, that we will extend God's grace and God's love to the people around us. And that we can continue to do it irrespective of what's going on in our own lives and the position where we find ourselves and the things that's happening at home and at work and all over. Because we still serve Almighty God. We still serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's amazing when I just look at the characteristics and the nature of God. It's actually amazing, the God that we can serve, a God that's reaching out to us. There's no other religion that have a God like that. A God that's reaching out to his followers. And it will come and get us wherever we are. That's unheard of. And many will really debate that. And the other thing that's unheard of is a God that was prepared to send his Son to come and live among us. And a God that wants us to know him and wants us, desire us to know him well. And he still does. And he still wants to give us perspective and answers and wisdom and everything we need in this day. Serve Almighty God. I believe that maybe we're all like Joseph. Life has taken a few unexpected turns. There's a few things that we didn't plan. Things that happened, especially this year. But through all of this, we can still trust God. Still hold on to God and still expect Him to do mighty things through us. I'm going to ask you just to stand with me. I just want to pray for us. And also, maybe you just want to respond to this word there where you're standing, or those at home, and just talking to God. I don't know what's happening currently in your life. If your faith is still intact, But it can be, because we serve this Almighty God. I'm going to ask John Ray, maybe you can come and just play for us. There are some things that only God can do. We will make all our plans and put everything out. But the amazing thing is God will continue to do what only God can do. He didn't stop. So this morning we celebrate God bringing us together like this. We celebrate God that we can stream for the message to go out, but we also celebrate what God is doing in our midst. And He brought us still here, and He will continue to take us further. And our story is part of His story, and we will continue to make His name great here, where we are, in the Helderberg, and wherever. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for a morning like this. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You for the Bible, that we can read it and we can get to know You intimately. Father, I pray for each one that's here, Lord, that each one of us will have that desire to know You better. Especially in this time where it seems to us that the world is in an unpredictable place. We don't know how tomorrow is going to look. We wait for the president to announce things that's changing our circumstances. But thank You, Lord, that You didn't change. Your mission didn't change. You still love us as we are, and You're still here, and You're still saving people. You're still drawing people towards You. And You're still intimately involved in each of our lives. And I thank You for that, Lord. And I pray this morning that each one of us, doesn't matter what's going on in our hearts right now, help us, Lord. Give us perspective, Your perspective. Show us, Lord, Your ways and what You are doing and how our story is still fitting into Your bigger story of what You are busy doing. Open our eyes, Lord, that we will see what You are doing. And I pray for new opportunities to spread Your love and Your grace to people around us. We thank You, God, that we can share the grace and the love because we've received it from You. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us, while He's playing, just a short moment. Just stand. Maybe you just want to do a prayer. Or you want to bring a situation to God. He's going to play a bit, and then we are finished. You are welcome then to leave this coffee or tea that you can take on your way out, and then we can stand outside. Amen. But yeah, just respond to the Word. Sometimes we're just quick to move on. So I just want to encourage you, take a moment. Maybe just say a prayer where you are, and then you're welcome to leave. Thank you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.